So this session is about budgeting. It's about personal and home budgeting, really. But I know that later we're going to talk about starting a business, growing a business, and this model can work as well, just, you know, on an... So it's just having the idea right. And it's something we probably all do, already know about, but it's just nice to go back and think about it. And I must confess that even when doing this, I was thinking, actually, we need to go back as a family and revisit this and make sure that we're constantly doing it. So it's about budgeting, personal and home. Okay, so I started with what's a budget? What is a budget? And in the dictionary, Oxford Dictionary, I know we've had enough definitions today, so please bear with me. It says, the Oxford Dictionary says, it's an estimate of income and expenditure for a set period of time. That's the word again, time. So, you know, it's revolving. It's companies have to, most companies set budgets on an annual basis, but some actually have revolving. Even when they set a budget for a year, they have budget forecasts. You have to continue to review things and realign things. So it's for a set period of time. And another definition in Oxford Dictionary says, it's an amount of money needed or available for a purpose. So it could be, so this is our plan, and this is the money we have for this plan. This is what we want to do. This is our plan. So that those are the dictionary definitions. I read a definition in the book that really ministered to me. It said, a budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. You know, it sounds funny, but it actually really ministered to me. And it was a Christian book, and it's like, as Christians, we call things forth. We say, this is what I want my life to be. This is what, we should do the same for our money. So this is us saying, this is where I want my money to go. Not that the money comes, you spend it, and you're like, I got paid 2 weeks ago, last week. Where did the money go? Okay, let me try and track my steps. You know, that's not being proactive. To be proactive is to set a budget. It is telling the money where you want it to go. And then you will now see it. And as believers, I will extend it that even things you want to do that you don't have money for, you can put it on your budget. And you know what you're believing God and what you're calling for. So that's the other one. And then another thing I saw in the same book is a concrete, organized breakdown of spending that keeps track of your where your money comes from and where it goes. You know, so that's really important. That can work for a family, for an individual, and for a business. Keeping track of what is coming in, keeping track of what you want to do and what is actually happening. You know, so that's what a budget is. Points to bear in mind when preparing a monthly budget. You know, I said it's for a period of time. You know, you can prepare it for a year, you can prepare it for 15 months, 12 months, 18 months, but it's good to have a monthly budget, which can be a rolling budget. You can use. So points to bear in mind. One, calculate your total income. A lot of times when you say total income, people just think my salary is if you get paid by salary, this is my salary, this is my income. But then you have to step back and think. One, it might help you to push you into what more can I do to give me diverse streams of income. Or you might already have diverse streams of, you know, you could have multiple streams of income, but you don't recognize them because it's like, that's just this. And when that money comes, it comes and goes because you haven't really planned for it, you haven't really put it. So things as little as, you could have rental income. So maybe you had a property somewhere. It could even be a property in another country. You think it's, you know, property in Nigeria that you've rented out is cheap. You might think that with the exchange rate, it's cheap, but it's something. And things like that, when you sit back and put a budget for the year, you think, wow, £50 a month. When you put it for a year, it's, you know, it adds up. You could think that I could have used that for something. It could be child benefits. It could be, you know, I know that things have changed in the UK now with child benefits, but there was a time that no matter how much money you got, everybody got child benefits for, you know, for as many children as you want. And that money, a lot of people just saw it as, oh, it's just money that comes in and goes. And, you know, there are things like that you could put aside and plan properly, and you'd be like, even if it's that money is going to go towards this, you know, you could plan it as. And when I talk about little money that you can discount, we can think about those of you that have children, especially children that are getting a bit older. Even if it's like, I'll give you £10 a week, you know, not that your money, pocket money you're giving them, but money you're putting aside for them. If you think about it, it looks like a small income to them, but it multiplies and grows. So it's just to not forget any stream of income, no matter how little you think it is. Dividend income, bonuses. If you think that your company gives bonuses once a year and you're thinking, oh, the bonus is going to come. If you have an idea or you could put a budget in, you could plan things so that when that comes, it goes to something constructive. Otherwise, sometimes it will come and it will go. And then you step back and think, actually, when that bonus came, what did we use it for? Nothing constructive because the plan wasn't there. Track your expenses. You know, the apps now that you can use on your phone as well to try and track little things, because especially sometimes it's for a season and you have, you're like, actually things are going out of hand. I need to track every little thing. If you start tracking them, it helps you get back into a good habit, and then you might not need to do it continuously. But sometimes I personally found that times I've just had to, actually I want to write everything this way. And then you now like, how much do I spend on lunch when I go to work? No, I need to change. Just a little change and you find out that you're saving money. You know, we're all Christians here. I don't believe we spend money on things like cigarettes, but those people that smoke, you'd be surprised how much money they spend. And sometimes it's because they never sit down to think, how much money do I actually spend on this thing? When you think that some of them smoke a packet a day and it's £8, £9 for a packet, thinking that's not food, that's not drink, that's just a habit you have. When you sit back and think of how much money you're spending on that, it might help you rethink that habit. And it could be for anything. You know, it could be chocolate, anything you spend money on gradually. If you start tracking those expenses and seeing how much it adds up to in a month, in a year, you'll be like, actually, maybe I need to step back on that. Then keeping it simple. The simpler it is, the easier it's done. You know, if you think it's something really complicated to do, you just find out that actually, I can't be bothered. You know, you won't do it. So keep it simple. Try to stick to it. I know that's a difficult thing, sticking to it, you know. Put the budget there, and then you go back and review and say, okay, which is the next one, review and realign. If you don't review and realign, you don't stick to it, and it goes out of hand, and then you just realize, oh, I don't believe that was on the budget. You know, those are the things. We had 5 things on the budget, but we've been spending things on money on 15 things every month, you know. So just put things on there. And I would say, I didn't put that there, but actually be honest with yourself, you know. Even if you sometimes find it hard to come out with it, just be honest with yourself and say, this is what I want to do. This is what I really want to be honest about what I'm doing. And then, because that's the only way it will work. Then Jesus' example, you know, because we're in church. Actually, when this came to my mind, I just thought, oh my goodness, you know, I just thought, well, Jesus didn't really talk about budgeting and everything. But in this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, this is the account in Luke. I didn't put it in there. I just copied it from Bible Gateway. There are different accounts in all the accounts, but there was one of them, because I remember reading it, that actually when Jesus said that we need to feed all these people, and he told the disciples to go out, I'll see in verse 37, he answered, give them something to eat. And then in verse 37, sorry, Jesus said, give them something to eat. And they said to him, it would take more than a half year's wages to feed them. Are we going to spend that much money on it? So I now step back and thought that actually they calculated it. They said, for them to say this is what it will cost us to feed these people. When Jesus said, go and feed them, they did a mental calculation of how much it will cost to feed them. And then Jesus said, what do you have? And he said, go and see. So Jesus is saying, Jesus gives you a project, or God says, this is what I want you to do. And like, go, but I can't do it. It's too much. How much, you know, this would need. So God is telling you, okay, consider the cost. Count, tell me how much you will need to do that thing. Then tell me how much you have. If you don't keep track, you can't do that. You just find out that, you know, and I found it in my life. There are things we want to do, and you just keep putting it forward. Next year, you never do it because you haven't sat down to budget for it. So budgeting is not just what you have. I know that in the world, we're saying budget is what you have and what you can spend, leave it within your means. If you have a bigger project that's out of your means, write it down, calculate it. Say, this is what I have, this is what I need. Then you can go to God with that. And this is what happened in the Gospels when Jesus was feeding 5,000. Jesus said, go and feed these people. And they're like, we can't feed them. He said, what do you need? We need over a year's wage to feed them. This is how much money. So it's like calculating. Okay, Jesus, we've done the calculation. We need £10,000 to feed these people. Okay, how much do you have? We have 500 and we need 10,000. Okay, so you need 9,500. I'll give you that. But if you just say, it's impossible, I can't do it, and you go, nothing will happen. It's like, this is what we need. This is what we have. Okay, God, fill in the gap. And we know as Christians, we have a miracle worker that's ours. So we have to do our part, and he will do his part. But if we just say, it is impossible, then nothing happens. So that's just bringing that story in. Then that leads us to budgeting versus living in faith, you know. Having a budget helps us pray, which is what I've just explained, for the things we need to do, but currently have no money for. You know, it helps us to put that in mind. Then it helps us to understand and appreciate what we really have. Because sometimes you say, I am so broke. You know, you just say all these things, but when you actually put it down, you're like, actually, I'm not really that broke. God has blessed me. Some people are doing more with less. You know, so it helps you. And that's where you then look back at the budget, look at the expenses, ask, okay, what can I cut off? Where am I wasting money? Where am I, you know, so I'm here thinking God hasn't blessed me. But when I look at it, I'm like, actually, God has blessed me, but I'm being wasteful. So how can I be more resourceful, and how can I use what I've given? And we all know that when we use what we've been given little wisely, God will bless us with more because he knows he can trust us with more. You know, so that's another thing budgeting helps us do. As Christians living in faith, budgeting helps us to do that. And then it helps us, wait, yes, that's just what that point is. It helps us eliminate waste and channel resources in the right direction. And I believe that's my last slide. And what I just wanted to do was show you the Excel spreadsheet that is a tool that can be used. As I said, you probably already do something similar, but this is just a simple template that you can use, you know. And at the top, you can just put in your the income. So this is a household of two people. You know, maybe a husband and a wife working, put the income for the man, put the income for the woman, then you get your total income. Then you now think, is there any other income? I gave the example earlier that you could have child benefit. Good. Just little things that you think it's a little, but when you, a private business, things like that, you can put that in, you know, and then you actually have a view of what comes in. Then under there, we've got investments, and I've put on the income from investments, and we've put expenditure for investments, because sometimes you need to evaluate your investments. Well, not sometimes. If you're investing, you need to. And when I say investment, it doesn't have to be something big. It could be something small. It could be something big. But let's use a rented property as an example. You buy a flat as a single person. You're living in that. And then you get married. You have children. You buy a bigger house. You haven't sold that one. You rent it out. It's your investment. But it's an investment that requires you to spend money on repairs, on bills, if, you know. And then you get rent coming in. So apart from your income, you don't want that money to just come and you're just spending it. Because if you're paying, for example, let's say this rental income, that investment, and you're getting £1,000 from your tenants every month, and you find out that every month all the expenditure on that flat is coming to 950, some months it comes to 1,002. On average, you find that they're spending more, then this might be time to raise the rents. Not just because you're raising it just for the sake of raising it. Yes, you look at market, you see, okay, can I get a bit more? You look at that, but you also look at how much you're spending. And it also means you have to be a bit more prudent. You might say, oh, actually, maybe I need to, in addition to the rent, I need to realize that there's service chargeable. You know, they're just things you need to think about. The reason I'm saying that, I have a friend once that rented, that bought a brand new house. Brand new, came with service charges and all that. Then she said, actually, I don't want to live in this house. I bought it, you know, I'll rent it out to somebody. She rented it out, just put a bit more on the mortgage and said, that's, you know. What she did not take into consideration was the service charge she has to pay for that brand new property. You know, after a while, she was really struggling. She said, and I said, okay, so how much do you charge this one? She said, but the service charge is so high. I have to pay all that. It doesn't cover it. I said, didn't you think that you could have added that to your rent? She said, no, I didn't think about that. You know, it's the kind of thing that when you think about it, you consider it, because you don't want to, sometimes you start a new investment and you're making a loss, but you don't want continuously making. So why are you investing if you're continuously making a loss, if it's impacting on you? You have to see, you know, the benefits of doing it. So that's why it's good to put that part a bit separately, you know. And then, of course, other expenses, you know. Put your tithe in there, put, you know, your mortgage, everything. The big ones, the little ones, try and remember them as they go. Telephone bills. And sometimes when you put all that, you're like, actually, do I really need all of that? It helps when you're thinking about that. You know, maybe I can eliminate that. And then when you now come on here, you can think. I remember once we had something similar a few years ago, and I remember when we did it. Remember one thing Ronke said is that if you have all these expenses and you're thinking, okay, I need to start cutting things, I can cut that, and nobody ever uses the landline anymore, let's remove that cost. When you do that, try not to immediately start replacing it with something else, so that you can then start having, because if you go right to the bottom, you have all the total expenses, and then at the bottom, you have what you have extra that's coming in. You know, so you can keep that and you can think, actually, we should be saving. I mean, ideally, when you look at the main thing from the beginning, you should take your tithe and take a savings. But if you're at the position that you're not really at that, then just look at what is necessary and then you can start thinking about savings. At the bottom, I've put this thing called debt loans, because sometimes you have loans that you're paying off, maybe with an agreement, or you have cards or things like that you're paying off, and you're paying off £10 a month and all that. If you look at it, you might be like, actually, this is going on for a year, 2 years of paying £10 a month. How much is the total? If I have a bit of allowance here. Just pay that off. Pay that off in June. The rest of the year, that's something you don't have. If you've got into bad habits and you've got cards and you've got things like that, some of them you've got £100 on a card and you're paying £10 a month. You're like, why do I want to pay that for 10 months? Eliminate that and know that that's gone, you know. Just so it's good to have that at the bottom. So you might have what you're paying regularly, but you just make a plan. And when, you know, I know there was a time that there was this phase that people were saying, all my debts are cancelled. This is, yes, it's good. You can believe God for that. But I am a person that really believes in integrity. And sometimes when you have that, it is just, there's no point saying, all my debts are cancelled. And then the money comes and you're spending it frivolously on other things. You know, God has called us to be, you know, people of integrity. So if you're like, okay, I have this debt, they've agreed I can pay £10 a month, but I need to be, if I can be a bit disciplined for a few months, I can clear that and I don't have that anymore. And it is a wonderful feeling when you can just remove one line and say, that's gone, I don't have that anymore. And then you know that when you do it methodically, that whole place, when it's gone, then you can say you're debt-free. Then you can say, I know a mortgage is a debt and that's a different story on its own, but if you can, if you have a long list of things like that that you're paying off, you can imagine how you will feel when that becomes a blank page. So it's good to plan for it and have things in mind. So that's me done. That's my 15 minutes. And is there any questions?